1204 marks a important point where the whole economic and political shift in the Mediterranean goes from Constantinople to Italy. And so 1261, the year in which Constantinople's retaken, there isn't a capital city retaken, not the capital I had described in the earlier lecture with Justinian and Constantine or in the Middle Byzantine period. It was essentially a husk of its former self. And so there was no chance of generating a political recovery. Furthermore, Michael VIII and his successors had another compromise they had to make. In order to acquire mercenaries, in order to acquire Western European allies so essential to take the capital, not only did they neglect Asia Minor and in the end lost Asia Minor to the Turks, they also had to promise reunion of the Orthodox Church under Rome. That is, they had to give up the independence of the Orthodox Church, that independence that goes back to the 4th and 5th century when the Patriarch in Constantinople established himself as the head of the Eastern Church, and to admit the primacy of Rome. And this proved extremely unpopular. Most residents of Asia Minor in Greece, residents of the Byzantine world, found that unacceptable. They had had 250 years experience with Western Europeans in the form of crusaders, in the form of Italian merchants. They had seen their capital sacked. They had seen much of Asia Minor recovered and then start to fall back into the hands of the Turks. Most of them had also seen Orthodox worship suppressed, the Greek rite humiliated, trampled upon, and they were not about to sell their souls for military aid in order to beat back the Turks, and a cry started to go out in the 14th and 15th century. It would be better to have the turban of the Turkish Sultan than the papal banner flying over Constantinople. And increasingly, the Orthodox Greek-speaking populations, first of Asia Minor, then of the Balkans, found it was preferable to put themselves under the rule of Muslim rulers. These would first be the Seljuk Turks and then the Ottoman Turks, rather than to accept the rule of Western Europeans. And that was part of the poisoned legacy of the Crusades. And it's an important point to stress, because even in this period where we have what seems to be the classic struggle between East and West, between Christianity and Islam, it is clear that it is not a two-sided struggle, but really a three-sided struggle, that those Eastern Christians, those Byzantines who had invited in their Western co-religionists, found themselves in a situation in this period where they really weren't quite sure what direction they should turn to. Should they turn to Europe? Should they turn to those Western Europeans who are Christians, but in every way look barbaric to them? Or should they consider the option of going on with the Muslims? And that dilemma was there from the start. And it's perhaps best captured by closing with an anecdote from Alexis I, the man who brought the Western Europeans in. During the early operations of the First Crusade, they recaptured the city of Nicaea. And in the city was the family, the harem of the Sultan, the Turkish ruler. The Turkish ruler had escaped. He had his army of nomads riding around in Asia Minor. Alexis made a gracious act, I don't make war on women and children, and returned the entire family to the Sultan, sent them with his letters and best wishes, and the Sultan graciously accepted and sent his compliments back. And this is the way war would be conducted in a civilized context. The Frankish nobles, the Norman Prince Bohemond, were shocked. The way they would handle that would be to either kill the men, to abuse the women, or sell them as slaves. To them, they saw Alexis as a traitor to the faith. And that incident captures very much the difference of what warfare meant and what the position of Constantinople meant between the Byzantines and the Western Europeans. And so you can see that this misunderstanding was there from the start. And in the end, it would be willingness of the Orthodox Byzantine Christians to accept the Turkish newcomers into the peninsula as the successors of the Byzantine first political legacy and eventually even the cultural legacy. And that is coming up in the next lecture.